Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me. He who receives me receives the one who sent me. Anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And anyone who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You see the prayer.
Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Did any of you watch that UFC fight that took place at the White House probably a couple of weeks ago now? No? I didn't either. It was quite a spectacle. I saw some highlights with the lights and the flyovers. One champion that was there and a challenger that was said to have no chance. But it's not really my thing, two guys locked in a cage that way. I'd rather watch something else. But even so, we have something very similar going on in our Old Testament reading from Jeremiah today. This standoff that we heard about today did not come to blows, at least that we know of, but it was quite a battle between these two heavyweights. On one side was the local favorite, mighty and formidable, and this match was taking place on his home field. The people gathered around loved him, and they respond with great cheers at every word. And on the other side is the underdog in every sense of the word. Small in stature, very young, some say. He's from out of town, and the crowds can't stand him. In fact, that they would prefer that he never enters the match. Simply leaving before it begins would be much better. But this is no ordinary battle. This was not a spectacle created for TV. It is a clash as epic and as consequential as any match that we would see today. Today is a face-off between two prophets and the word of the Lord. One man cries peace, and the other cries destruction. Which one of them is telling the truth? Who can the people believe? Amaziah has the crowd's backing, and they love his words. Jeremiah is booed and hissed when he speaks, as each man claims to speak about God's plans for Judah. The context of this showdown begins back in 605 BC as Babylon becomes the new superpower in the region. This enables them to exert power over all its neighboring nations, and Judah is no exception. Judah is invaded by Nebuchadnezzar, and they become a vassal nation. This means that even though Judah looks pretty much like it always did, they answer completely to Babylon. And Babylon accomplishes this by taking many prominent hostages. In fact, they take King Jehoiakim and replace him with Zedekiah. And they also steal the ceremonial vessels from the temple. So as you can imagine, this causes quite a bit of unrest in Judah. They grumble, they complain, they march in the streets. And soon, Babylon finds itself embroiled in some political battles back home, this power struggle that is taking place, and Judah and the other smaller nations decide to take advantage of the issue, and they revolt in order to take their nation back. Our nation's 250th birthday is coming up this week, so this type of thing should sound very familiar to all of us, doesn't it? So leading up to our reading, Jeremiah then warns the people that God is using Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians and as his tools, and that the nation must submit to them. He proclaims that Judah will go into exile for 70 years and that the temple will be destroyed. And he warns also that false prophets will come and claim to speak for the Lord. God even commands Jeremiah to wear a wooden yoke around his neck and to tell the other nations and also Judah that they are to submit to the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar. And if they do, they will remain in their own land. But if they don't, they will face destruction. So you can see this was not a very popular message that he brings to the people who are occupied by a foreign nation. And this is where Hananiah comes in. He was a priest in Zedekiah's court. And it's not hard to see why he would prophesy the exact opposite of what Jeremiah is saying. For he had both a physical and a financial reason to say, "No, I prophesy peace." He claimed that in 2 years, God would break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. Jehoiachin would be returned along with all the ceremonial vessels. But that, and for the people, that sounded absolutely great. It's exactly what the court, the temple leaders, and the people wanted to hear. God would send peace. That was Hananiah's message. And the hometown crowd cheered him on. But Jeremiah says that the prophet who prophesies peace is shown to be a true prophet only if peace comes. Hananiah responds then by breaking the yoke around Jeremiah's neck and said, "God will do the same to the Babylonians." And Jeremiah hangs his head and walks away. And as he does, you can almost hear the crowd cheering Hananiah as he celebrates a great victory over the young Jeremiah. You see, Hananiah offered a peace to the people that they could see in their day. It was something that they could hold in their hands. And even though it was the exact opposite of the word of the Lord from Jeremiah. But you see, not a whole lot has changed over the years. The world around us is constantly offering us peace in ways that come now, something that we can see or hold on to. The world offers peace of mind through possessions and wealth and a secure financial future. The world offers peace to our nagging feelings of being inferior through prestige and higher status in society. The world offers peace if we just elect the right leaders, one who will make housing affordable again, or stop the protests and riots, or that will put an end to all of the fraud and financial abuse and corruption in D.C. But every time the world offers peace, it leaves something out. And what it leaves out is why Jeremiah was so hated. For he proclaimed the sin of the nation. Hananiah spoke of peace because the Lord was on Judah's side, as if God owed something to the nation. Jeremiah proclaimed the nation's destruction because of sin. The Lord said Judah would wear the iron yoke of Nebuchadnezzar and the nations would serve the Babylonian king. And then he goes after Hananiah. You have persuaded the nation to trust in lies. Therefore, this very year you will die. And sure enough, 2 months later, Hananiah was dead. The word of the Lord revealed the falsity of Hananiah's claim of peace, and it continues to do the same today. Our possessions and our bank accounts, which once thought to be secure, one day will all be gone. Peace through status means a never-ending chase of that status. Should we put our hopes of peace in sinful people elected office, we will always be disappointed because sinful people always fail. Hananiah lied. There was no peace. Jeremiah told the truth, God's truth. And in his truth, there is always a different kind of peace. And that peace is our hope. For Jeremiah said after 70 years, the Lord would bring the people back. Jeremiah said, this is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. This restoration would go far beyond a physical return that the Lord promised, because he also promised that the Messiah would come through David's line and one day reign as king, and that he would make a new covenant with the people. Jeremiah writes, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. And I will forgive their wickedness and I will remember their sins no more. Jesus is that new covenant. He is the one that brings true peace. A descendant of David, born of Mary, the Son of God, he goes to the cross and defeats sin, death, and the devil. And this brings true peace. And this true peace is now ours, for we are at peace with God, because the sin that made us enemies has been covered by the blood of Jesus. And so we are reconciled to our loving Heavenly Father. This peace extends to all others around us because they, like us, are all forgiven sinners. And as forgiven sinners, we don't need the other types of false peace when God is for us and with us. We live today knowing that Jesus will give us the final everlasting peace when we are raised from the dead to live with him for all eternity. See, Jeremiah and Hananiah had an epic showdown in our text for this morning. Hananiah proclaimed peace, but it was a false peace. Jeremiah spoke the truth of the people's sin and promised a future peace. And in Jesus, those words find their ultimate fulfillment. In the chaos that swirls around us in our world today, may we cling ever tighter to this promise of peace.